I knew Brent was going to take some of my time. I didn't know he was going to take a good part of my message. January 16th, 1977, 17 saints gathered at Wunderlich Intermediate School to form a new congregation, a congregation that was shortly called the Climbwood Church of Christ. Two of our current elders and their wives were in that group that morning, John and Beverly Cogdell, and Robert and Melanie Ray. And about a month later, Mark Cogdell was born and Megan Ray was born, the first children in that congregation. Also among them were Robert and Martha Banning, and then shortly to follow, Geraldine Garner. And from these two families are two gospel preachers who preached the gospel for years now, David Banning at Vestavia Hills in Birmingham, and Bumba Garner, who many of you know well, at Southside in Pasadena. And so not only did this group grow quickly, but from its roots produced young people ready to serve in the kingdom, young people today. Your parents have raised you to be the same way. Land was purchased near Klein Forest High School for the first building, and substantial growth continued. While Brent reminded us of the growth and the future of our young people this morning already, I want us to think about the future of Climbwood. Growth is not easy. It brings challenges. And complacency is the path of least resistance. It's comfortable. It's simple. It's easy. And it would have been easy to remain in that first building, comfortable to hang on to its sentimental value. But Climbwood was not about simple and comfortable and easy. They had a vision for future growth that left no place for mere emotion, for commitment to buildings rather than the work of the kingdom. And so in 1998, judging this to be the right move, the congregation moved to our current location you're sitting in right now. Like the first building, this place is not sacred, but it does bear witness to Climbwood's willingness to plan for growth, to welcome change, to weather uncertainty, to trust in God to give the increase. And so this congregation grew not because of a building and not because of large children classes or special events that were planned. It grew because saints at Climbwood loved God, and they loved His Word. And some may say the world is very different now. People are just not as committed to truth as they were 30 years ago. Saints are not as committed to local congregations as they once were. Society's pressure to tolerate and to accept and to even promote ungodliness has spread to all areas of life, to schools and universities, to the workplace, to legislation and court rulings, even to homes, and unfortunately some religious groups. And the faithful sometimes fear that the local congregations that now thrive will, like the seven churches of Rome and Asia, fade into oblivion. It's easy to give in and to give up, to believe that things are as good as they will ever get. It's easy to look at a congregation like this and ask, have we done what we can do? It's easy, but it's foolish. What is the greatest threat to Climbwood? We are engaged in a great culture war. Worldliness will always oppose righteousness. But I suggest to you this morning that it is lack of personal conviction that poses the greater threat to this congregation. And not just this congregation, but there are many who are visiting here this morning, to any congregation. When you go home to your congregations, the greatest threat to those congregations, it is not worldliness in the world and the influence of darkness. It is people not deciding to do what the Lord wants. It is people not being convicted to His will. And so the future of this congregation rests on not the world deciding to do the right thing, but faithfulness of individuals. The growth of the body comes through the proper working of each individual part, Paul says in Ephesians 4 and verse 16. So if we become content with mediocre service, this congregation will regress. And you may think, I just can't imagine that happening. I can't imagine that this group would ever regress or that it would dwindle. But I know there are those of you among us this morning, because I have seen this, who are familiar with groups who have done that very thing. It is not that long ago that I remember hearing about a congregation with an auditorium built for 500 to 600 that shut its doors because it was meeting with 15 to 20. Shall God's people dedicate buildings such as this as graves of religious commitment? Memorials to profess the glory that once was? Shall we resign ourselves to the idea that this is what we are and we will always be? Society has made it too hard for us to be religious and to work in His kingdom. To do so, brethren, ignores the spirit of those who began this work 38 years ago in that small meeting in Wunderlich. The consecration of buildings rather than people, a religion of perception rather than practice, pride in the past and the present rather than vision for the future, leads to congregations of 400 going back to 17. What does lack of conviction look like? Complacency. Complacency turns religion into something we practice at a building. It relegates kingdom work to the church. It makes threats to the congregation someone else's job to deal with. Complacency looks like families attending or allowing all spiritual learning and activity to be on Sundays and Wednesdays, if that, sometimes. It looks like Bibles not being read in homes. Such religion fails to convict our children. It fails to shine Christ's light to the world. And it fails to strengthen personal faith. And it provides opportunity for evil influence. So how do we avoid complacency? How do we avoid the world's evil influence being allowed into our lives? How do we avoid darkness? It's simple, brethren. Put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says in Romans 13. No one can make that choice for any of us. No one can make that choice for me. No one can make it for you. It comes down to a personal decision. But bear in mind, this decision will not only affect the health of Climewood and where we go in the future, but the faithfulness within each home represented here this morning. The salvation of children and grandchildren hangs on this decision that I make and that you make. We have to understand that wearing God's armor means drawing lines. It means standing at odds with the world. It means striving for holiness, making tough decisions. But we are assured that those who are willing to stand with God, it means victory is certain. And so I'm speaking to you about this morning because I believe the saints at Climewood have a mission. We must stand as a beacon of light, not only to a world lost in darkness, but to our fellow brethren who fear darkness advancing on every front. Influence. It is not chained by church autonomy. Young people, when you go out, as Brent has just talked about, into the world, you bear the influence of Climewood with you. I assure you that. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, he told them they had become an example to all believers. The word of the Lord sounded forth from them, he said, in every place. And so if our people drift toward worldliness, our influence promotes half-hearted devotion, mediocrity. But if our people stand committed to Christ, our influence emboldens countless Christians around the world. Christians who encounter our materials on our website, Christians who visit us here, Christians who encounter our young people and our other members who go other places, who are emboldened by our stand for truth. The community will be illuminated, not by mass outreach, not by fancy programs, but through the unwavering loyalty of individuals here this morning. If we want to reach the community around us in which we live, it's going to happen by people encountering us and seeing Christ living in us. And we have a duty to ourselves to maintain a path of spiritual maturity. Elderships can't force this conviction. They can speak to us in very powerful ways, as they've just done this morning. They can try to persuade us. They can try to shepherd the flock, but ultimately we must decide that we're going to do the will of the Lord. We must understand that growth comes through personal choice and not through programs and activities of the church. Let us, each of us, imitate the godly spirit of the brave souls, living and dead, who struggled here. The Hebrew writer says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. We have some here this morning who were there, who were there at the beginning, who stand for us as an example of faith. And for 38 years, godly commitment and vision has flowed through the veins of this congregation. We cannot rest on the loyalty of the past. Rather, it is for us to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who labored here before us so faithfully began. Climewood has reached a critical time. I don't say that because Climewood is struggling. Actually, it's just the opposite. I think Climewood is in a wonderful place, has experienced substantial growth. And I address you this morning as one with you, my family joined with yours, and you have shown that in so many ways. And there are so many strength and so many good things about Climewood that it would be comfortable to accept success, to take pride in what this congregation has become. But to do so is to fail. Let us appreciate the success of this congregation and rejoice in 38 years of growth. But let us also remember that growth didn't come from 17 saints looking for other people to serve. It came from their own commitment, their own willingness to serve, their own determination and willing participation, their own lives of faith. That's what brought this group from 17 people to 400 plus. Their trust in the Lord's work in this place. Why are you here at Climewood this morning? Is it because it's close to your home? Or maybe your family has always gone here? There's nothing wrong with those reasons. But I hope that we are also here to work and to grow and to help others grow, to be equipped for the work of service, as Paul says we are to be doing in the church, for the building up of the body of Christ. Let us answer the call to be living sacrifices, to never surrender the primacy of God's kingdom for worldliness, to never grow complacent in our service. And let us accept Paul's challenge to the Thessalonians so long ago, abound still more. If we do this, I'm firmly convinced that righteousness will exalt this congregation to growth unimaginable. But if we fail, this building will become an empty relic, a faint memory of a once vibrant congregation. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, the Hebrew writer says, let us also lay aside every obstacle and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. The faithful of past generations should inspire us not to dwell in their success, but to embody their spirit, to be looking with a vision to future growth. And so Darkness abounds in all corners of the world. And it is not our duty just to keep lamps lit. But to be the light of the world. Brethren, we have a great task before us, greater than most imagine. But this is what Paul says: God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord Jesus Christ will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. The world will come to your light. The body is made up of individual members, and those members, doing their part, cause growth. And so the question for us this morning is, what are we doing? What are we doing here at Climbwood? If you're from somewhere else, what are you doing where you are to promote growth in the body? Because it's not about what somebody else is doing. It's me deciding that I'm going to do my part. And so I encourage you this morning to decide you're going to commit yourself to the cause of Christ. You're going to do the will of God. You're going to forget the dark influences of the world. You're going to stand separate from that. You're going to realize you don't want to go down the ways of the prince of the power of the air and be with the sons of disobedience, but you want to have the grace of God in your life, and you want to stand firm in his truth. And if you've decided that in the past and you realize you haven't been a factor for growth in your own life, in your own maturity, or for this congregation, it's time to change. Change isn't easy, but it's necessary for our future. It could be this morning that we have someone in our midst who's not a Christian, who has not given their life to Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body. He has died and shed his blood for the salvation of his people. And if you're not a part of his people, you do not have that salvation. That's not said to be mean or ugly, but just to be truthful. But he gives us hope in Scripture. He tells us what we have to do. He says you have to repent of your sins, turn from your life that you've once lived in the ways of wickedness, and be crucified with Christ, to give up your life and now live by faith through the Son of God. And we're told numerous places that the means by which we do that is by being buried with Christ in baptism. If you haven't done that, you're not in Christ. And when you come up out of the water, you will be raised to newness of life, ready to be an instrument of righteousness for the Lord's work, not just generally, but among his local body to which you should be a part. If we can help you in some way this morning, if we can make that desire a reality for your life in some way, by following the will of God, don't wait. It's time to change. It's time for growth. Why don't you come as we stand and we sing together?
When we walk with the Lord.